Hey, everybody. Thank you for that sizzle, Denzel.
Yeah, I was feeling very serpentine.
I love it. Serpentine away.
Oh.
I love that. Hi, everybody. This is Taking in the Scene. Woo. We are at episode 12.
Dozen.
Yes, a dozen episodes. I'm so proud of us, y'all. Mm-hmm. This is amazing. I'm joined today, as always, by
Denzel Darko
with the silver tongue and
Warm Orange.
Woohoo!
With the orange tongue.
With the bronze tongue.
I was going to say, the orange tongue sounds like you need to see a doctor. It's not the right color.
Silver tongue.
But only consensually.
Yeah, silver tongue is like a saying, though.
Oh, yeah.
I see.
Sounds very regal.
Yeah, it is very regal.
But if I did go to a doctor with silver tongue, that'd be funny.
Yeah, they'd be
check me out.
Yeah, they'd be like, you have lead poisoning.
You might look at that.
Where'd you
out?
Get that from? What you been licking? Which goes into, it's a great segue point.
Our episode of Taking in the Scene, we're going to be talking about polyamory in kink today.
Oh, gosh.
Which is such a big subject, and it can be really fun and light, and I swear I'm not going to try and argue too much with Orange this time.
I like the arguments. They give me life.
Okay, then I'm going to argue the entire episode.
I mean, all I said is my caveat is whenever things get too hot, the drop whistle's coming out.
Oh,
so
God.
If you don't want to hear the drop whistle.
That is disincentivizing me from arguing with
there
Orange.
There it is.
That is... I am willing to deal with the auto editing of that in the
yes
for debates.
You'll never hear it.
I'm gonna make sure that it's like happening as soon
as we're talking.
The most important moment.
No,
I'm just gonna.
No.
You're gonna hate it.
All right. So we're talking about
polyamory today.
And kink.
And polyamory within kink. Polyamory and kink, not necessarily within kink, but polyamory and kink. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the points we have on our list to address is definitions. And this point I almost want to just like skip over because there's so many definitions.
Yeah, but there's a chart. Do you see the chart?
Oh,
I see the chart, but it's
look how beautiful the
chart
is.
I also want to say early on in this season, I had said that ethical non-monogamy falls under polyamory, but I realize that it's the other way around. This is going to make me sound super self-hating as a polyamorous person, but I sort of hate all of our terms for things.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it feels
they're
like...
They're so annoying.
It's super annoying. Like, the idea...
So burdensome.
Of people who say, like, I am individual and I express myself and we just, like, slap 16 labels. Like, if that is your way... of expressing your individuality, then by all means, put all the labels on you. I'll go get you name tags.
It's just people, and people like abbreviate them. Yeah, and
and it becomes a moment of pride.
It's the way Beyonce said, if you like it, then you should put a label on it.
Is that what she said?
Yeah.
That's what she said.
She also made Orangeade as the other song too.
Exactly. Here's my example. In polyamory, we have a term for your partner's partner, who isn't necessarily your partner, and they're called your metamor.
And I hate the
word metamor.
Odd,
it sounds so cool.
Too.
It just sounds like a Pokemon to me.
I know, that's what the cool
but
part
I'm
about
like,
it.
Whenever people are like, oh yeah, my meta and I went shopping.
It
and I'm like,
so
just
cool.
It just sounds so pretentious.
It really does. And that's what I don't like about the terms.
Me too. Thank you. It just sounds pretentious.
It makes it seem like it is a point of pride.
Yeah.
To be like,
and like, yes, we're better than monogamous people. We know that. But we don't have to tell them that.
Well,
but I mean, if you do, then make it sound pretty.
On the note of metamors and stuff. So what is it about the word that kind of drives the skin? Is it just the pretentiousness of it, or is it?
I really think it's the pretentiousness. I think
it's how people say it when like, they're talking about it. They're like, like you're saying, like
my meta and I like are such close friends.
Yeah.
And I'm like, good for you.
You know what?
Just say your partner's partner. I don't know. It's like a few extra syllables.
Already say things double anyways in normal life. So
I would advocate for metamor over meta because, you know, Facebook has ruined that.
I know,
but a lot of people say that. They abbreviate it. They're like, my meta. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay, here's Orange, to your question, is it just the pretension? I actually have thought about this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think because monogamy is the... the default.
Right.
Monogamy is what we're taught by our Christian heteropatriarchy.
Especially in the United States.
Especially in the US. Especially in the South. So monogamy is set up as the default, which means that us as polyamorous people, we have to find ways to distinguish ourselves.
Absolutely.
And we have to do it in reference to monogamy because polyamory exists sort of
as the opposite.
Is in a different way than monogamy.
Polyamory
by
spectrum.
Default is different from monogamy.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I introduce a tangent? Really?
Wait, before you do, let me just finish this.
We got to define things.
Yeah. I'm just saying, so part of the reason the pretension of this bothers me is because in our effort to distinguish ourselves from monogamists, we've put ourselves in many ways on like a pedestal for our behavior.
Yes.
And to be clear, I am poly. I think this is the relationship style that works best for me. I would probably think it's better for most, but I also would not be – I wouldn't say that it's for everyone.
Right. Agreed.
So what I'm saying is that in our effort to differentiate ourselves from monogamists, we've become a little pretentious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fair.
I hope that makes sense.
And I think that like – that somewhat undermines what the poly experience is supposed to be.
I agree.
Right.
Because
right.
you now again make it a point of like upholding and right. saying like, well, this is my journey. And then that's why people have like an aversion and
right.
not a real understanding of what poly is because it feels like this.
There's also a lot of fuckboys in polyamory who ruin it for everybody.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of other things. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to talk about like what is truly poly. Like I don't even think
there's one
official
thing.
Definition, but it's an umbrella term. I think we described it as such, right?
Well, if I were to go on a limb and try to define polyamory. So polyamory is under, in my opinion, is under the umbrella of ethical non-monogamy.
Yeah, I think we're agreed on that now because
it's an umbrella under an umbrella.
Yeah.
It's a donut hole in the middle of a donut that's actually a donut hole in the donut.
But on the terms of defining it, so ethical non-monogamy is so ethical is the operative word in that word. Non-monogamy is not the operative word. So the fact that you have multiple partners is fine, but the ethical part is the part that helps differentiate it from cheating or helps differentiate it from just casually dating around. So the ethical non-monogamy, putting it together as a term, that requires you to have some set of standards of ethics and morals and all those other stuff, more so ethics. And then the polyamory specifically is usually ends up being kind of a flavor within that.
Yeah.
Like it's a big umbrella like Denzel's mentioning, but it's usually much more inclusive, at least according to the chart that we're looking at, of things like BDSM and non-monogamy, of things like having unicorn polyamory, of things having like truples.
Or swinging is in here
swinging.
As well.
So
con sex?
Oh, I don't think swinging is
only
polyamory.
Having sex when you're at cons, like conferences, like like BlizzCon or SparkCon.
Oh, like with convicts? Huh? Is that a whole branch of sex?
People who are concave.
I like my men in orange.
Oh my god!
Hey, let's meet.
Jumpsuits.
Okay, I
start to jump.
I already hate this because I just hate definitions. I'm so sorry.
anti-label.
I know why it's important. It's not the anti-label. I am made up of labels. Mm-hmm. I am fully a labeled person, but
Well, it's useful for helping guide the conversation because once we can agree on a baseline, then we can start building up to the.
I mean, polyamory in its Latin roots, or I guess Latin and Greek roots, because it is a mix of Latin and Greek, mm-hmm. just means many loves.
Mm-hmm. Right, poly.
Poly, many
multiple,
loves,
many,
and like if you're poly, you don't have to love everyone you're with. That's not inherent in that, but it does under that umbrella of ethics and ethical non-monogamy, I think it very, very broadly is the ethical experience of having more than one partner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the poly people listening, y'all know that poly is more than just saying, like, I'm fucking
right.
X amount of people. Like, we know that you all have established relationships that are very significantly amongst your partners. There might be some overlaps, but there might be complete differences where you do one thing with another that you don't. So this may not go to you, but, like, again, your examples and how you express yourself as a poly person will be somebody else's template. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
And again, it's not your job or your responsibility to say, like, I am the deciding factor, but inadvertently you will become that role for somebody. So, you know, when you're thinking about how you navigate your space, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm going to just say another reason I sort of hate defining polyamory is because there are so many people who do it so poorly.
Yeah,
and that's the problem being a niche community is that and you both know about this experience very well. Mm-hmm. When one person in our community, our poly community, fucks up, it reflects very poorly on the entire community.
Right, yes. right.
And so both of you know about this experience as black men. You basically have to be perfect all the time.
Right.
So it's frustrating to me in polyamory when, like, Kenny's shitty fuckboys who...
Oh, Kenny.
Who claim to be...
Back from Dubai. Poly.
Yeah, exactly. No. They claim to be poly, but really what they're doing is just fucking over multiple people.
Yeah.
Well, so and also, I do want to emphasize as well, especially for the people who might listen to polyamory podcasts. Unlike me, I don't listen to polyamory podcasts because... It never crossed my desk for some reason. But there is something to highlight that polyamory is not specifically sex. For me and my relationships, I define relationships based on a sexual line, which is a thing that I'm actively working on trying to address and fix, or I think it should be changing myself. So I'm working on changing myself, but that's important to mention because, polyamory is more specifically amorous. So it's more specific on the love, the relationship and the, you know, sometimes house building, however you define it. Whereas poly, or polyfuckery, probably not the proper word, polyfuckery is more along the terms of like sexual partners and stuff. So just because you're polyamory.
All of it's ethical and done with consent, done with full knowledge.
Right. If you're doing the things to navigate the space, then congratulations.
Yeah.
But if you're not, then
you're a fuckboy.
Take a step back.
Yeah.
Figure out how you can approach properly if you should even be approaching properly.
Okay, so here's a question.
Okay.
I already know the answer. Is everyone in kink just poly? Because it kind of seems that way.
Doesn't it look like it when you're at Slosh and everybody's just with everybody and they float around and you gotta be like, oh my God, is this one of those big, everybody's been inside everybody. That's what it feels like, right? What it means to be kinky, huh? No.
So is everyone in kink poly? To be kinky, do you have to be poly?
Absolutely not.
So I would say absolutely
not. To be clear. Absolutely not.
To put it this way, using generic examples, which totally, totally do not get in trouble for, using generic examples, there's three different people that I know, one male, two females, one assigned male at birth, two assigned female at birth, just to be more specific, while they're in their scene in the time that I've known them, very hardcore monogamy this, monogamy that, one partner type things. They have different play partners, but they were very strictly monogamous. Two of the three, one of them moved away, so I don't know what's happened to her since. But two of those three people have since become more poly adjacent, more open in their relationship. And I think it's a testament to the communication that kink inspires. So while I don't think everyone in kink is poly, I think everyone in kink has a higher tendency to be poly because communication is so emphasized.
Yeah.
What a wonder. I asked that question, didn't think it would inspire such a great point.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
I love the idea. I love that because I just am so focused on this, like kink. Allows for more communication. And I think the reason polyamory or the times when polyamory is most successful is when the lines of communication are just like blasted wide open at all times.
Yes.
Right. And more so like you're fostering an environment to where you can communicate. Yeah.
And I say on top of that, another component that you mentioned is there was a progression.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I think like as kinksters, we're constantly evolving.
Yes.
And
going just through different things. So like,
you know, there might be periods of your life where you were monogamous, but then you became poly. But then there's also people who say like, I want to practice a period of monogamy after being in poly. Right. So like, you might have a baseline like approach to say like, I might be poly, but it doesn't mean I have to be actively poly at all times. So you get to choose how you are and you
that's
know your
true.
Evolution.
I will say though that at this point in my life, I couldn't not be poly.
Oh yeah, it's too like
It feels part of me.
What? This is like prime time.
Like, it's what? Like, what? I'm in my 30s?
I gotta be you.
I wanna sling it around a little bit.
I just, gotta yeah. split it up. It's not even just that. Like,
yeah, no, I get you.
I've been poly for many, many years and kinky for many years. And I couldn't, they're so much a part of my identity. I could not be either of the, I couldn't choose to not be poly at this point.
Well, it's a, what's the word we used in the last episode?
Oh my God.
It transcends. It's transcendent. It goes with you. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I did have some struggles with that early on in my poly career. My career of being poly.
It's like a job.
The reason I say this is because I had a partner who would say, like, being poly is not a choice, like being queer is not a choice. And I was like, hold on. Those are not. No.
Talk me through.
He was basically saying, like, I was born poly. And I was like, no. Yeah, I you do choose to be poly in a very different way than you are born queer.
Yeah.
But at this point in my life, I just couldn't be monogamous.
So, I'm assuming that was the bookend of that statement.
Okay. Give us a 90-degree turn.
Okay. Well, just a 90-degree turn. So, as we all may know, I love board games. I adore board games. And there's this very complicated board game called...
If you're into board games, you're poly by law.
Yeah.
Yes. Just play so partners. You know, for our listeners. Get it?
Play partners. Yeah. Because you have multiple play partners.
Yeah. Honestly, for our listeners, if you like board games or like...
Spades included, my black folks.
Yes. Oh my God. Also, wait. I saw a funny skit. It's like, hey, teach me how to play spades. It's like, you don't teach people how to play. You just know.
Yeah. You don't ever ask anybody how to play spades. And if you do, if somebody everybody teaches you how to play spades, they're probably a bad spades player.
It's like, oh, damn.
Because you're not supposed to teach people.
But moments of racial unity between Denzel and I aside.
I love it.
The thing I was going to mention was the board game. It's a board game called Neanderthal. And it's a very complicated board game, convoluted as heck. Just watch a YouTube video, figure out how it's made. How it goes. But there's a concept inside of the game talking about sexuality. And the concept of the game is you are Neanderthals and you're trying to bring about civilized societies and stuff. It's convoluted. It's a very complicated game for no reason. But I love it. Anyway, the board game explores pair bonding. It explores harem holding. It explores promiscuousness. And the way the game does it in mechanics is that if you are promiscuous, you have more people to do things, but your ability to communicate is restricted. And if you're pair bonding, you have...
That's some judgment right there.
Right?
But, like, but if
you can't speak, but you can fuck.
That game is judging my lifestyle.
But if you're pair bonding, which is primitive. You know, marriage between a one male or one AFAB, one AMAB. If you're pair bonding, the survival strategy is you have much more communication resources because you're very communication heavy, but
you don't know people.
It takes a while for you to evolve going forward. And the concept of the game is that daughters, specifically female daughters, are the technology tree in the game. So you advance your society by having daughters give you technology and stuff. It's very convoluted.
Are you telling women are real grand inventors and smart?
Well, that's the theory.
This game seems like
the implication
judging
theory.
Me.
But to be more specific,
not into that.
That game is very interesting because it kind of takes the concept of how through evolutionary strategies, we've developed the concept of pair bonding. Which is good for communication, but it sucks for resource. Oh, sorry, but it sucks for evolution.
Not all societies did pair.
I was about to say,
just to clarify, this game has a very controversial. It's very specific on theories.
Because I know the book that I'm reading. Mm-hmm. It's called The Ethical Slut.
Hey,
I'm reading it now. And I think that it might be this book that I'm trying to reference. But it's stated that the concept of monogamy is within the last 200 to 300 years, an invention of society. Right, so like
it's a social construct.
Yeah, exactly. So like centuries before, there was so much more openness to it.
Hetero-Christian patriarchy.
Exactly. Like
I am a broken record.
There's people who say you can control a population this way. You can, it's a form of
you control women this way.
You can control commerce this way too. Cause if you force people to buy a house because they're a one single pair unit, as opposed to saying let's give a polycule a crib. Like, more than likely, a person who is pair bonded is going to get legal appreciation in ways that people who don't ascribe to that.
Because control.
Especially here.
Christian hero patriarchy.
So,
well, wait, and just to bounce off that thought with one last little piece, there is also something to be said about the tendency for people to not want to go against the grain social norms wise, which is what makes it very difficult to do kink, and which is what makes it very difficult to do poly.
That's
I'm not saying
true.
That they're the same because they have their own
That's
different struggles.
That's another reason there's so many poly people in kink, I think.
Right, right. Because both communities are kind of, they kind of crack the door open to acceptability.
Because again, I think at the core, like we've mentioned, is that both poly and kink require communication and progression, which progression at the core of both of those goes back to knowing who you are.
Yeah. Or being honest, at least.
Yeah, if you being honest with who you are, because how can I be honest with my partners if I'm not honest with myself? And I was reading another book.
Reading books.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's dangerous.
Highlighters are going
crazy.
It's
Words can't be trusted, Denzel.
It's called The Eden Project, The Search for the Magical Other, which is like Carl Jung's point of view on like relationships. And there was this really unique diagram that basically said like every partnership is a connection between the conscious and the subconscious of an individual. But the most important relationship that you have with individuals is the relationship you have of your conscious has to your own subconscious. So how you view yourself is going to be the most important factor in any kind of relationship. So you're never going to know your partner, and you can know enough about your partner, but if you know yourself enough to say that my partner knows themselves, then that's how you have a standing relationship that has, you know, more security.
That's
because
lovely.
People know who they are. People know who they are when they come into situations versus like,
I will say, first of all, I want to say to the monogamous listeners, good on you. Like,
congratulations.
Yes, I'm just saying like there's,
if it works, it works.
I think along the lines of what Denzel was just saying, one of the things that I value about polyamory, it's not just the wide open lands of communication. It's that if you enter into polyamory consciously, much like as if you enter into kink consciously, you've had to do a lot of self-exploration. A lot of work on yourself. You've done a lot of exploration of your feelings, your needs, your desires, your insecurities, your shortcomings, if you're worried about those coming up. I mean, to enter into kink conscious, and we talked about this before, no one accidentally enters kink. They have to be conscious to come into the kink world. And the same thing with polyamory. I think you have to, if you're doing ethical non-monogamy, you have to explore your ethics. You have to explore, and I think maybe a little later in the episode, we'll get to the like, people who inject rules into their polyamory, which from my tone of voice, you can probably tell I'm not a huge fan of.
And from my normal disposition, I'm always like, let's explore that idea. And Mango's like, no, orange. I was like, but explore.
Explore what? Wait, what did I say no to?
Well, no. I was being hypothetical like that. Let's explore that idea. I was saying to be counter to Mango, what happens if you explore? And then Mango's like, orange, I will drop the hammer.
But orange agrees with me that the rules kind of suck. So,
I agree that the rules suck a lot of ass.
I was going to say, there's
not like the fun
you
way.
You can like try and disagree on this.
The unfun way of sucking ass.
Yeah, the unfun sucking ass way.
The unfun ass sucking way.
Yeah, I mean, navigating polyamory and kink is, they almost go hand in hand in a way.
Navigating yourself.
Yeah, you're really exploring yourself and
it's
what your
relationship
needs are.
Masturbation.
Yeah, it's
what?
Is navigating yourself is relationship masturbation.
No, I mean, in a way, he's right. Because it boils down to your relationship
finding out what you
with
want,
the
what
other.
You like, yeah.
And again, these two books are going through my headspace. But like,
I love that.
The Carl Jung book talks about like how a lot of it is like projections. In order to facilitate healthier relationships, we have to acknowledge the projections that we're putting on people.
Right.
And when you think about in a traditional monogamous thing, it's like your projection of your partner is supposed to be literally the everything to your missing.
Right.
Like that is the term, the magical other, the person who's supposed to come around and fix these problems. So when you recognize that has been like this fallacy that humanity has created, that we're looking for the one.
Right.
We're
or the other for half.
The other
which
half.
Which is ridiculous because that implies we are not whole.
We're not whole. And then when you kind of...
I'm not whole. I'm three holes, goddammit.
Megan's like, I am three holes.
Gonna put stuff in my butt.
Acknowledge my holes. I didn't mean to become the butt queen or the butt of the joke, if you will.
I was going
to
say.
But I am okay with it.
So instead of saying butt, we'll just say mango.
Is oh, it? No.
I have a very good
point.
I'm going
to put mango. Some stuff in the mango. Just wanna, no.
Oh, my God. But that is what I do. I put stuff in the mango.
I put stuff in the mango.
Well, but. So just to bring up a point, too, regarding polyamory and monogamy before we presumably transition to our next stages. Polyamory, according to the numbers that I've crunched, which is took me like 4 hours to find these numbers. Thanks, FET, for making it very difficult to find numbers.
Sponsored by FET.
2.1% of the entire body of people who are on FET do polyamory or have polyamory. 2.1% have
That's
polyamory
so
listed.
Few.
Well, they have polyamory listed as one of their into or
oh,
curious
as
about.
Kinks.
Oh, as a
okay.
fetish. I would have to see
but
also
regarding,
profile.
Yeah.
Regarding the actual non-monogamy has, anyone want to guess what percentage non-monogamy has?
I'm going to say like 60.
Well, no. So 2.1% for polyamory.
I'm going to say 4.
What, so like 7?
0.3%.
Cheese and crackers. So, okay, here's the problem with those numbers, though, because...
Well, these are aggregates, and they're not including everybody.
But it's also the fetish tab.
Right, exactly. People had to put that down as their... They didn't... You weren't scouring fat for relationship statuses or types.
Because that's too much work.
Yeah, that is too much work.
Yeah.
And FET does not have an API, which just makes sense. Because,
yeah, totally. A question that came up between the two of you before we started recording, which I definitely want to talk about, is don't say, oh, y'all were into it. Well, Denzel had said, like, if you have a relationship and multiple play partnerships.
Oh, yeah.
Are you poly if you have multiple play partnerships?
Okay, so I'm going to take a stab. I'm going to say... Yes, because again, when you think about the nature of what poly really means, it doesn't mean that you just have love for another person, a connection. Right. And there's probably intimacy and communication and chemistry established. But chemistry does not have to be, again, sexual chemistry. It can be comedic chemistry. It can be romantic or platonic chemistry. Like those things exist.
And if you're playing with someone... You
don't have to date them.
It's an intense connection.
Yeah. You've now entered a space, especially if you're thinking about like you're becoming like consistent play partners.
I mean, like I did rope the other night with somebody, and we're not in a romantic relationship, but they were like right by my ear. Breathing.
It's very intimate.
Intimate, like hands moving across my chest, around my legs. You know, at one point, like dragging me across the floor by rope. Like it was both very intimate and very intense. And like, I'm not in a romantic relationship with this person, but like, it was
we shared
connection
an
as hell.
Right.
You shared an experience like, that transcended.
Yeah.
And that is what love is. Again, these books. Shout out to these books. Oh, I bought them for like $30. But
I love it.
My last
what point. Is love?
What
Baby,
is love?
Don't hurt me.
I'm going to tell you what the book said.
No more.
Okay. The book said, love is literally just the flow of energy.
Oh, you told us this before.
I think we talked about
this. I feel
like we talked about this before, but also
might
keep
have,
going.
But
keep going.
Love is just a simple flow of energy. So if you take that definition of love and you apply it to polyamory and say that you have multiple loves, i.e. multiple individuals that you are actively investing a flow of your energy, whether that's time,
this
intimacy,
or money. This is why I'm in a relationship with my cat.
There it is. So it boils down to it, though. Like, that is the thing, is that when we love a thing, we're putting ourselves into it and we're investing.
Right.
And if you're a play partner, we have negotiated, which is communication. Mm-hmm. We have done the scene, so we have invested both our time and our physical bodies, if that is a part of the scene. So
and we've been vulnerable.
The vulnerability,
We together.
So I think we might all be on the same page that play partnerships makes you poly.
Multiple.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
multiple play
if we're doing like, if I'd say, if we've done three things together, after three, I'm going to be like, So what's up? Are we official play partners?
But if you're a person who has multiple play partnerships and they're sort of casual, I would still say you're poly.
Well, so true, so but I would.
I guess I don't know. My question would be: if I play with somebody one time, does that make them a?
Makes you poly. It might not make them a partner.
So you say any playtime, any playtime. Period.
What I'm saying is, if you play with multiple people, even if it's just one time, you identify as a polyamorous person.
Okay.
So
polyamory is for me a self identifier. Okay.
So for me, just to tie up the loop, because I hate mentioning numbers without giving context. The 2.1% context earlier. Well, no.
Or it's just like
a 2.1% regarding people who have polyamory listed as a fetish versus 0.3% versus people who have monogamy listed as a fetish.
Which is so...
There's
a difference between kinks and fetishes, and it bothers me that you can't list kinks, you can only list fetishes.
Right. It's
not a fetish.
But just to give you more context, regarding the numbers that I have, the aggregate numbers that I have, 12%, which is the highest single percentage, is oral sex. And the numbers for that specifically are 1.2 million people have that listed as a fetish out
they
of 10
mean
million
kink.
People.
They don't mean fetish.
Right, have it listed as a kink. So just to give you context, so the 2.2 whatever percent I said before is still kind of significant because the highest is oral sex, which is 12%. So 12%
okay,
is
fair
the high number. But just to answer the earlier question.
Answer the question, though.
Do I think monogamy, or sorry, do I think if you do kink, you're polyamorous?
No, do I think... having multiple play partners means you're poly.
So I don't think so. From the pure lens, especially in speaking from a hyper consensual perspective, like a hyper I get to define my own terms perspective, I think it needs to be within the rights of the people involved to self define. So for us to slap, or sorry, for me to slap a label on that,
I feel like
it's
totally.
An intrusion. But from the perspective of are they practicing poly?
You might not call yourself poly but if you're doing poly things.
Yeah,
well, no, but
that's
but I mean,
all I'm saying.
Are they practicing poly mechanics? Yes, 100%.
I'm not trying to force a label on someone. That's not what I meant by that.
Well, as one to clarify because one of my this is a conversation I actually had with one of my really good friends over board games because I play board games with them.
We get
a lot.
It. You play board games.
but I play board games.
Recommended me a great board game, y'all. So if you ever want some, send that in. You know, if you want ways to find out if you're poly, play board games.
Yep.
And CZ. Orange can give you the
best
games.
Okay, Orange, what was your conversation about?
I get board game emails. Mango gets math teacher emails. Denzel, you got to get emails. Oh, no, Denzel, you get emails for your voice. So, for context.
I want to know what your conversation with your friend was about.
Oh, sorry. My conversation with my friend, just to finish that knot, or sorry, tie up that loop. So I play board games with them during the pandemic. They were like basically my exclusive board game play with friend because I didn't do anything. They had circumstances to where they couldn't really do much. So we both had a lot of free time outside of me doing work and them doing work. So I would play board games with them all the time. And it got to the point where they said, hey, you know, I kind of consider you, Orange, a partner. And I was like, ah. And they were like, oh, you don't consider me a partner? And I was like, you know, me and this person have had very intense conversations about multiple things. So it wasn't like I slighted them. At least I didn't detect that. I hope I didn't detect that. But I responded to them. I was like, well, I define partnership with sex. Like if sex is involved, then that's like a level of partnership. But if there's no sexual contact involved, whether it's like, you know, masturbatory or with dildos or with actual intercourse, so, then I don't consider that a relationship. But I consider it a very good, strong friendship. I consider it a very close friendship. I can consider it intimate. But if there's no sex part, then like,
but you're
I don't
working
cross
on
line.
That, you said. You're well, working on moving away from that thinking.
I'm working on moving from that thinking, but in that conversation, right. Because they helped me re-explore that. Because it's something
I've
been
working on.
Can
I ask the gender of this person?
Assigned female at birth.
Okay.
But the importance of this conversation that I had with them was like,
what's the gender kinda, of this person?
They, them.
Okay. Yeah. There it is.
But the importance of the conversation with this person was like just kind of trying to make sure that I am aligning my practices with my moral baselines, which is the thing I do frequently.
I was about to say, but can't you change your moral baselines?
Well, I can change my moral baselines, but the question...
You're defining sexual context in a heteronormative way. A lot of people have contact that is sexual that isn't
heteronormative. But hold on, but keep in mind, the reason why I said the way I said is because sexual contact, because... In my own definition, there is the hypocrisy that does exist. Because if I have sexual contact with somebody who was assigned male at birth, then I would not, there's aggressive emergency hatches in my own mind that I'm still working on trying to dismantle and fix or address. Fix is the wrong word. That would ring and say, this person will never be a partner. And that's one of those aggressive internalized homophobic things that I'm working on my own self. But that does not impact my relationship with the person. So if I'm tying rope with somebody and they say, give me a hand job with the toy, and they're like, yeah, I can do that. In my mind, it's like this active battle in my mind, like saying, oh my gosh, this is like, blah, you know, heteronormative, this is homosexual, stop it. But then on the outward side, it's like, that does not need to affect my friendship with this person because my own moral groundings establish that.
Orange is having bi panic.
What I'm trying to say is that there's active
Orange, I hear what you're saying.
Things of me working on those.
So, but
it doesn't necessarily mean that I will.
For Orange, it sounds like multiple play partnerships does not equal poly because a relationship includes sex,
which
is sexual contact.
We touched on this in the previous episode, but I feel like, or it might not have been the most previous episode,
episode 8.
I think so. We talked about. I said we need to talk about what does it mean to be a partner. Because polyamory, you know, a lot of individuals, that is, again, one of those terms that we use. But Mango, you mentioned how it has origins in the queer community and how that needs to be like.
The term partner.
The term partner comes from it. So, you know, I was wondering, like, do y'all want to revisit again partner? Because Orange, your definition is one that's based off of like. We have to be sexually, like our genitalia has to touch.
Or there has to be plans for genitalia to be somewhat involved.
Okay, yes. So genitalia has to be involved for you to have, for you to say that I is mean, my partner.
I have close friendships that are closer than some of my genital touching relationships.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is fair, yeah.
And those people I consider not just partners, but chosen family.
Yeah, that's other fair. Key that's
term. And chosen family, another thing that really heavily comes from the queer community, because a lot of queer people were rejected from their biological families and had to find chosen family.
Right.
I really think that you can have polyamory with play partnerships without sexual contact. Because,
yeah, no, for sure.
As Denzel was sort of saying, the connection there, the intimacy that you can create with another person can exist outside of genitals touching.
Oh, yeah. And it might be even closer.
Yeah.
Because genitals don't touch. You might not. There's some people who will be like, oh, it's okay if we just fuck. Like, it's not a big deal. Right. But for them to open up emotionally to you might be like, no, you're now my partner because I've told you X, Y, and Z about me, but they're like, oh, we fuck? No, you're just my friend.
Well, but it's important to note on that friends with benefits.
You should also fuck friends, but well, that's...
You no, should.
I actually had this conversation with my friends last time, which is like, you should... I feel that people should be comfortable to have sex with their friends, assuming that it is a comfortable environment for them.
If Orange were anybody else, I would think he was such a fuckboy trying to get laid.
No. But the thing is,
I know Orange, and Orange is not a fuckboy trying to get laid, but doesn't that sound like a fuckboy being like, you should fuck me because we're friends?
No,
bro.
I didn't say me.
Friends should fuck friends. But like, I want to be my friend. Let's fuck because friends can fuck.
I can't wait to have my two cents about this because.
I want to hear your two cents right now.
Oh, no. I'm going to let Orange finish.
I was going to say, from a philosophical perspective, the idea is that when you want to have casual interactions, you want to, you know, no strings attached and all this stuff, what better pool in my own personal mind than your friends? Because your friends are people that you feel comfortable with. Your friends are people that
although the communication there has to be almost double, because you need to be clear that you want to maintain a friendship and not a romantic relationship.
Yes.
Right. And I actually had this conversation specifically with a friend that I hung out with recently, where it's like, you know, because they were like, I would like to have casual sex with both people, like friends with benefits, but everybody sucks. It's like, you should have sex with your friends. And then she laughed. And then I said, well, you know, I always make that statement acknowledging that I'm basically advocating for myself, yes, but in acknowledging that, I'm also trying to acknowledge the other side of things. I'm acknowledging the other side of things of like the facts of the matter of like, if you have sex with your friends and if you decide to go deeper, you can. It's great. If you decide to not go deeper, then you can still be friends afterwards because you were friends before.
It sounds simple, but it's not always simple.
No, for sure.
I do think, though, I think within kink and polyamory, I do think those conversations happen more
oh, yeah.
readily, and I think they're more mm-hmm. informed. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
What are your two cents? I'm dying to hear.
No. So, like, that has been
Tell me.
A topic I've been, like, mulling over for a while is, like, the concept of friends fucking. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Because it involves poly because yeah. you're saying like, mm-hmm. hey, look, I have already established a connection with you as
right.
an individual who I say you're important to me in my yeah. life.
Mm-hmm.
But now maybe I've reached a point where our friendship has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe there's always been like this kind of like questionable
attraction
or something. So I think in situations where you all have vocalized, let's say like, let's just make out.
Yeah.
Right. It's
let's just make out.
Nothing but make out.
If you don't like it, we ain't got to go further.
Can I just say, the last time I did that with a friend, I ended up being her first sexual partner ever.
See?
It was not great at the end of the... No, the sexual... I'm sorry. I lied. The sexual encounter was amazing.
Right.
The aftermath.
Oh.
Because...
trauma laden or something?
I think... me being her first meant that she wasn't super prepared to
right.
process the what she perceived of as like a loss of a friendship when I
exactly
yeah like,
it was we had sex now we can't be friends we must be married
and
now.
That's yeah. the that's
and I
the
I tried at the time I was in my what I call my hoe phase I'm still a hoe but at the time I was. Like hoeing it up,
but you're an ethical hoe.
I've always been an ethical
there you
hoe.
Go.
At
ethical
the time,
hoe,
though,
yeah.
I was sowing my wild seeds. I'll say that my wild oats. Ew. Sorry, sowing my wild oats.
See,
and I at the time I told her like I'm not looking for a relationship, and she was mm-hmm. like, "That's fine. I just want to make out." And I was like, "Cool." And then we fucked.
Question of sowing your oats: were they wild oats or were they machine cut oats?
You mean
it's
steel
quick,
cut oats?
Yeah, it's
steel
quick
cut oats.
Yes.
Or
traditional.
Let's go with steel cut.
Yeah. Personal
yeah.
class.
Steel cut oats.
Not that the other oats would. Like, I was going to say a person with class, regardless of what you said. So just regardless.
I want to make sure in the time we have that we complain about people's rules.
Sure.
I just want to do that. I want you to finish your
point. I think at the core of it all is that, because I posted some new poetry that talked about fucking friends, so that's where it came
read
from.
Read it to me.
I know, I'm almost at 100 likes.
Oh my God.
I'm at like 97, so like listeners, go to my page and read it. Also just because
by
of the fact
time
that
you read it, it'll be well past 100.
I hope so, but if not, I'm y'all can be the last two or three.
Mingo goes to read it now.
But at the core of it all, because I was talking...
I started typing in Den. Just into Google, I started typing.
And of course, it's going to be a picture of me, because that's who I am.
Oh, my God.
But I think Orange, I was talking with a mutual friend of ours, and they commented
Wait, the 1%?
The
1%? The one who wants to claim 1%?
That individual.
Not
another one, and they commented on this writing and was saying how mm-hmm. the theory mm-hmm. of friends being able to have an established level of communication and talk their way through potential sexual encounters is a beautiful thing because there's also a level of like, mm-hmm. we've already formed this relationship with each other.
Yeah.
So I naturally also feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And when we continue to talk about kink, safety is a component that always comes up. So if you're a person who is highly sexual
mm-hmm.
but does not feel safe to go out and interact mm-hmm. with like people on dating apps or XYZ,
right.
your friends can sometimes, if you've established
sometimes
can be the person who says, hey, look, I know you don't like going out there and meeting people, so how about I just eat you?
Along those same lines, though, your friends can also be people who let you experiment with kink.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, yes. Well,
and
no,
like,
yeah,
if you're like,
especially.
I'm really afraid to try this, you know, I'm really afraid to try being like hit with a flogger. Your friend can be like,
I can try
or rope or anything
or
like,
demo.
Let me try that on you. Mm-hmm. They can be a safe person.
So saying all that to say is that if done properly and if both parties or all parties are involved, negotiating and playing amongst friends might even be more beneficial to your relationship. You never know how it might develop in advance if you give your friend a chance to say, hey,
yeah.
let's let me have you beat me. Or, hey, yeah. maybe can I try this new tongue technique that I want to maybe go out and try on other people, but I want to have a safe, I want to have a safe person to attempt it with first.
Right. And the best thing about it is like, maybe that leads. That's
exactly how I sound.
maybe that leads into your kink play transforming into a polyamorous thing. But speaking of polyamorous things, Mango, you said something about
shitty rules. I just want to talk about rules in polyamory, especially when it comes to like pertains to like people in dynamics and kinky relationships. Oh,
the 100 mile rule.
The 100 mile rule. The one penis sore policy.
Rule. What's the 100 mile rule?
That you can't fuck anyone within 100 miles of your house.
Do you remember Friends?
I didn't watch Friends.
Okay, so there was
talking about the one with a celebrity.
No, with Chandler and Monica. Sorry, spoilers. Spoilers?
No, it's been like 20 years. They had a reunion. Well, we know how it ends.
So Chandler and Monica said just as long as they were not on the same continent, they can have sex. This is in the earlier parts of the
relationship. Yeah, so, okay. I'll just as a preface this conversation. In my polyamory, I try not to practice hierarchical polyamory.
So could you define hierarchical polyamory?
Yes, I can. Absolutely. So hierarchical polyamory usually is defined by having a primary partner and then multiple secondary partners. Part of the reason I don't like that is because it tells your other partners that they are, that they literally come second, that they're less important, they're less of a priority.
It's a ranking system.
Yeah. For some people, it really works, especially if the quote-unquote secondary partners are also in, you know, also busy or also have other partnerships. For me, I could never stand to be someone's secondary. I would feel insulted. Sorry, I mean, judgmental.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I'm totally cool with being boyfriend number two. When that song dropped, I was like, oh my God, that's me.
Okay, that's you're right. I'm going to walk back because I sound judgmental.
Side niggas got a hot hustle, okay? Well,
but I mean, for you and your engagements, like that's fine for you to have those definitions.
Yes, so I don't mean to be judgmental, though. My point is, I start by saying I don't practice hierarchical polyamory.
Right, right. Because
I find that within hierarchies, that's where there's more rules, and the rules are there to, and rules include things like, you can only have sex, like a man in a relationship, a cis man will say to their partner, their cis female partner, like, well, you can have sex with any woman you want, but I'm no the dicks. Only penis well, you can have sex with.
There's subcontext to that too.
There's what?
There's subcontext to that too. The subcontext is that man is basically saying, I don't think a woman can take my spot.
That's what I'm saying. It's like that rule is fucked up because it's homophobic.
Yeah.
Right.
And says like a woman, a relation, any relationship you have with a woman isn't a real relationship.
Well, but also on top of that, like if a man just assumes, if a cishet man especially just assumes that a woman can't rock your girl's shit, then like you obviously don't know women.
I was about to say, you are the lucky one.
You are in danger.
A lot of times, these rules are put in place because people are insecure. Like you just said,
possessive.
That man thinks that they can't be replaced by someone else. Polyamory, I'm not looking to replace any of my partners with the next best person.
Right.
There's no risk of me losing a partner because I'm going to be replaced. The benefit of polyamory is that my partners can have multiple partners.
Right.
Yes.
There's no replacing. So when people put those rules in place, it's because they're insecure about being replaced.
The insecurity of replacement, it's kind of like
insecurity in general.
It's kind of like me loving board games, which I do, saying that you can't play board games with these people because I don't want you to replace me with them. But you can play board games with these people. And it's like,
And then it's like only people I've chosen for you only a certain kind of person.
Or you can play board games with that person, but I have to be able to watch.
Yeah. Or I have to be able to join.
Or I have to be able to be. The rules that involve like we can only date people together
are
super fucked up to me because that forces the third person, by the way, fuck unicorn hunting, always, not a fan. It forces the third person to have the same level of feelings for both partners. It also puts that third person on uneven footing as they enter the relationship in an established relationship.
Well, and for the defense of people saying, but what about cuckolding? Cuckolding is only 1.3% according to the numbers I crunched. So cuckolding is not that popular.
Cuckolding is also, like, Oops, I just hiccuped.
It's very specific.
I have very intense hiccups. Pardon me, y'all.
That's okay.
That cuckolding is a kink that is negotiated and consented to. I wouldn't even consider cuckolding as part of these weird rules.
Yeah. At its core, it's still.
Do we need to define cuckolding just, real
no,
quick?
I don't.
For those who don't know, cuckolding is, especially when a cis man is interested in their partner. Mm-hmm. Watching their partner be fucked by someone else.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just to interject with the not
or knowing their partner to be a right degree by someone else,
but like cuddling is in the top 10% of kinks on Fet. I just want to say cuddling is up there. Cuckolding not in the top 10%. Cuckolding is
okay. My point is cuckolding is is a negotiated kink. That's for me. That's not in the fucked up rules category. I think the fucked up rules category bothers me because especially if you're in like. If you're in a dynamic with someone where you are their dominant and you get to choose a bunch of things for your submissive, if that bleeds over into like not letting them to decide who their other play partners are, that's when I think that's not okay. Unless you've like super consented to your dominant deciding who you can play with or not, which is a thing. It's a thing. I'm just saying if you want to date someone and your dominant says no because I'm your dominant, no.
Because, you know, I think a lot of people lean into poly. Like, and I say lean into it as opposed to like being aware of it for themselves or whether they're acting on it. Like, there's a difference between awareness and acting. So I think a lot of active poly people, like, they do it because there is a feeling of liberation.
Right.
Yeah,
there's a feeling of I get to be my fullest, truest self.
And the same with kink.
And the same with kink without having to say, like, I've got to put all of this into another person. So to have somebody who's like, possessing that that liberation of yours, like that.
Even if possessing you is a kink of yours, if they are crossing a line.
Yeah, if they're crossing a line with it, then you are, you know, like that's not good.
That's not cool.
And again, like I'm gonna say this to all my people with penises, because a lot of y'all's homies have this same mindset. Because I had to, you know, engage this with my homie the other day. I was like. He was like, you know, like, wouldn't it be dope again? You know, it's the same old conversation when it comes to threesomes. It's like, oh, it's going to be, like, wouldn't it be bad to have, like, a baby who's, like, who like a shorty who, like, would invite girls into the thing. And I could do things with the girls. And I have to always look at my homies and be like, so what happens if, you know, she wants to say, like, I want two dicks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, two dicks.
And, like, what are you going to say? Are you going to say no? Because, like, it's not fair that you are saying, again, like your point is you're saying no to their expression of themselves.
Of their queerness.
Because of you wanting to, again, just assert your own dominance and take something away from it, from you. You're always thinking about what can I benefit from your sex.
The rules people put in place is because they're insecure about losing their partners or they're insecure that someone will be better than they are.
And guess what? That might happen. There's going to be somebody who eats pussy better than you, Kenny. Sorry.
But the thing about the betterness, so the reason why I love ethical non-monogamy specifically is because the idea that my partner dates other people but still comes back to me, that builds me up.
I was going
to
say, that means, that you are special in a very particular way. Like
you're an anchor.
Right, I'm an anchor, relatively speaking.
Although anchor is a term in polyamory as well, so
it's a different term, and you don't. Not every partner has to be your anchor.
Your partner,
just to mention on the threesome, I don't know your homie you're referring to, so please take us with a grain of salt. But
I hope you're listening.
One retort you could have is like, why would you want to have a threesome? Is it just so you can disappoint two people at once?
No. You know, at the same time, let's be honest, a threesome is a lot of fucking hard work.
It's because you have to worry about who's focused. So as a person,
especially for someone who has. Is definitely put to work in the threesome.
Mangoes.
I'm not complaining. Thank like, you both. You're amazing.
It looks grand when you're watching it, but then when you're actually in the throes of it, you're like, God, because I am like, logistics. I got a cramp. I just need to, give me 5 minutes and let me stretch.
But that's when you get to watch for a little bit.
Yeah, true.
But even if you watch, sometimes it's like, how do I re-enter? It's like, I want to go there. So do you just like timeshare? It's like,
no, you
synchronize watches. You say, stick out your hand.
No. Oh my God.
I'm coming in at 11:03. We obviously know how group sex works.
You just jump in.
You just jump in?
No, there are so many easy and simple and sexy ways to re-enter. We're not talking about how to do a threesome on this episode.
I mean, balls in the body.
I have had many. I'm not bragging. I'm bragging.
You're so bragging right now.
So many. I have had so many threesomes.
I am goated out here.
I have so many threesomes.
I did get invited to my first orgy.
That's amazing.
I was like, me.
I'm just saying, if we need to do an episode on how to have a threesome.
We should do an episode on how
that'll be season three.
Okay.
Because we can do
season
three
is the how-to.
We could do a
season two is controversial.
All different kinds of genders amongst the threesome. Yeah. Like, we could break it down. Like, what happens if you got three? What happens if you got three of this?
Season one is kind of like a sprinkle of everything. Season two is controversial. Season three is like how-to.
Oh, so we should just call it like... like group sex. Like, we should do an episode on group sex.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. I know time is running out. I wanted to mention this. I probably should have mentioned this way earlier, but the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So one of the things.
It's the pyramid thing.
At the top of what we were talking about before with.
Someone decide this was like fucked up for some reason?
Probably, but
I feel like that and like Myers-Briggs and all that other stuff.
Oh, well, we know Myers-Briggs is fucked up.
But the general idea of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs is that regarding
it's not equitable.
Well, no, it goes over like one of the things that's kind of needed for self-actualization, which is to be able to kind of explore and, you know, be moral and philosophize and shit, is that you kind of have to have these baselines. You have to have the psychological things taken care of. You got to feel safe. You got to feel like you belong. You got to feel people love you and want you.
Also, it's fucked up that sex is put on the bottom.
Well, so I thought sex would actually be put at the higher, to be honest, with the love.
Well, there's sexual intimacy and sex.
Because that implies that you need sex as much as you need breathing.
Well,
that is
it's saying before you can feel like you have self-esteem, you need the sex. I can see that being problematic.
But also, look at what else is on that line. Sorry, people can't see what we're looking at.
Respect of others? Well, no, I will post this in a show notes. I'll post this in a show notes.
And when they talk about sex, they're
on
talking
the same
about
line
like,
is breathing, food, water, sex, sleep.
Oh, those are talking about the essentials for humanity's survival.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's what this is actually not as properly labeled, which is funny because we've been talking about labels, but physiological is not the proper term. This is supposed to be like base layer for human survival.
Like,
These are the things that are essential.
Okay, as a community. Not a fan.
Well, but the reason why I want to mention is because self-actualization, being comfortable to explore these things, I feel like in kink and in polyamory, because in creative, the conversational environments are created, you can feel free to explore these things instead of being stuck in the very societal normalized buckets. And you can start exploring and saying, hey, maybe I do want to go to a glory hole and be on the giving side. Maybe I do want to put stuff in my butt.
Or in the mango.
Or in the mango. Or maybe I do want to do cuckolding. Or maybe I do want to be poly. Maybe I do. So it helps you feel safe to start exploring these things, which is the only reason why I wanted to bring this up. But also, I do understand that there's a lot of problematic lines.
Yeah, I'm not loving this hierarchy.
Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah, it's made by a white man in the 40s.
White men ruin everything. white people in general ruin everything. If we could if they could all take a pause on leadership of any kind for 5 years, then we could.
We should black it out.
Maybe. I mean, yeah.
Color it out. Mm-hmm. Slut it out. All of it.
We should honestly have a sex worker of color as our president.
Yeah, and I think honestly, world issues could be solved with a giant orgy and baby oil. Like, I just
wait. What?
Yeah. Yep. My solution
oil,
for
oil. Deteriorates condoms.
Condoms, the
you
sexual
can't
health.
Use oil if you're using condoms, Denzel. We talked about this
in
episode 5.
But maybe for the sake of world peace, all the leaders got together
That's
and said,
a
hey.
A lot of STI spreading.
If they're all comfortable with it.
If they've consented to it.
If they've consented to it.
Everybody gets tested. And look, we know through how the United States handled the pandemic that we're all about testing.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Baby oil, could you just imagine government leaders just sliding across each other?
Okay, why don't they just do a giant slip and slide if that's where you're going?
Giant slip and slide would be funny.
Slip and slide would be very fun.
No, it has to have an orgy.
A lot fewer STIs with the slip and slide.
They should do the crate challenge.
I don't know what that is.
They're like walking on the crates.
There's, yeah.
They should do the crates. I was thinking they should slide into the legs of the country that they want to negotiate with. Like, that would be my way of solving the world's problems.
How many wars do you want started?
None, because at the end of the day, it is an expression of love because it is a flow of energy from one individual.
Yes, it's a flow of nuclear energy.
Thank you to our listeners for staying with
nukes
us.
Nukes flying everywhere.
If you've gotten this far, you can find us on Instagram at Taking in the Scene podcast. You can find us on FET at Taking in the Scene. And our Gmail is takinginthescenepodcast@gmail.com.
And I promise that we have three hosts because one of us has to be the adult eventually.
Yes, that is why. I am the podcast mom. I will always take us out.
Yeah.
Denzel, talk to us.
Let's see. I'm gonna read a segment for my little poem. So hopefully people want to follow up and read it.
All right, lowering the lights.
Let's see. I think this is going to be... Yeah, here we go. I'm just going to read this little segment. Just because we make it spicy doesn't mean we have to become the main dish. Some friendships flourish from a pinch of sexual flavor added to them. Just enough tension will keep it interesting, and most foreplay occurs in playful body language and stimulating conversations occurring between individuals deemed important to each other in some capacity.